Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Roland Chris Blog Talk Radio Station, Pathways to Excellence, where we explore what it takes to meet and exceed the demands of managing a retirement plan in today's complex market. From regulatory developments to fiduciary news and practical tips, tune in to Roland Chris for your step-by-step guide to achieving compliance and confidence in a new fiduciary era. Now, let's begin today's show with an introduction from our Roland Chris host.
Welcome to our audience for this podcast on the Pathways to Excellence channel, sponsored by Roland Chris. I am Christy Arthur, Director of Fiduciary Solutions at Roland Chris. I'm the host of today's live 15-minute podcast, and our subject today is GRC, Governance, Risk, and Compliance Strategies for ERISA-qualified plans. Now, during our last podcast, we discussed how to unravel some of the complexities inherent within 403B plans that are now governed by ERISA. During today's podcast, we're going to dive a bit deeper and discuss the impact that federal pension law is having on executives and administrative teams responsible for prudent plan management. We will hear proven ideas on how to rectify the common gaps that exist between business practices and federal regulations. With me today in the studio is our guest, Ron W. Hagen, who is President and Chief Operating Officer of Roland Chris. Ron has a lengthy career in business risk management. Prior to joining Roland Chris in 2001, Ron served as a corporate development specialist in the healthcare sector. He was influential in serving the boards of directors and shareholders on risk management practices for two publicly traded healthcare companies. Throughout his tenure with Roland Chris, Ron has utilized that experience to guide the leadership of the world's top businesses and nonprofit organizations to implement effective stewardship through these GRC solutions. Ron, it's great to have you in the guest chair today. Welcome.
Thanks, Christy.
And Ron, you've been in this chair before, so to speak, in your past experience in risk management and the corporate healthcare sector and in your current experience with both the nonprofit and corporate sectors. You've long worked with boards and shareholders and executive leadership. What I'd like to know is, where are we now? What is the current state of affairs among the administrative teams and the executive leadership that you're working with now? What are they struggling with?
Thank you, Christy, for your kind remarks and as well the opportunity to engage on this topic. You ask good questions. From our experience, hospitals and higher education executives are grappling with a host of strategic issues. 403B plans are among the items that have risen as a priority, both for employees' interest as well as the plan fiduciary's peace of mind. And now that these plans are embraced within the federal body of pension law known as ERISA, there's higher standards to meet and more bite in the enforcement of these plans. So while some organizations are just now addressing 403B issues, others have taken action over the past few years. But what we're finding is they've lacked a best practice approach. In some cases, the result has actually led to more complexity, confusion, and potentially for more fiduciary exposure due to the increase in the number of service providers. Executive committees have shared with us that while they feel they need to upgrade their plan design, plan services, plan expenses, and compliance oversight, they're not quite sure where to start. In fact, in a recent conversation with a CFO I just had, he shared his fear that this effort would be like changing tires on a moving car. If I look at the context of many 403B plans, I completely understand the fear and the apprehension, but there is clarity and a proven approach for modernizing and upgrading these plans.
So, Ron, if you don't mind, give me a bit of a history lesson. How did we get to this point?
Well, as I touched on just previously, the 403B plans for many years were not under the jurisdiction of ERISA. So plan design and service provider contracts and overall plan oversight lacked the quality assurance measures compared to for-profit 401K plans. And I'm not suggesting that the 401K plan industry was spotless by any means. but there certainly was more of a compliance and enforcement culture that dictated a quality assurance process. The result was, in the 403B market, a provider-led environment as opposed to what I would call an employer-controlled environment. Contracts and services and fees and even plan design issues were weighted in favor of service providers due simply to the lack of expertise and attention given to these plans. This really was no fault of the hospital or the university because the situation dictated more of a direct relationship between providers and participants, and this created an out-of-sight, out-of-mind concept for employers. So a key outcome in the ERISA 403B era is to upgrade the contractual arrangements so that they are engaged at a plan sponsor level. However, as employers attempt to do this, it brings up secondary issues, secondary problems, which include managing the conversion restrictions from these individual contract terms. And these can be some of the most challenging aspects of upgrading 403B plans. The ERISA era, though, requires that plan fiduciaries must act in the participant's best interest, and unfortunately, best interest does not always mean most expedient. But again, while challenging, there is a proven way to get there.
I like the terminology that you're using, the ERISA era. What are the implications of an ERISA era 403B plan?
To get through the jargon of a piece of law like, in this case, federal pension law, we like to talk about this in business terms. And we've really approached this from a supply chain management approach. So best practices around managing suppliers, service providers, relative to contracts, deliverables, fees, these are all really effective and required now under ERISA. And there's a code section with ERISA that was enacted in 2012 that all retirement plans, 401k and 403b alike, had to adopt more of a supply chain approach. We call it the fiduciary supply chain. And so contracts, fees, fiduciary acknowledgments, whether service providers are taking a legal responsibility or as a fiduciary to the plans for their actions, those all have to be vetted and disclosed in a clear manner. And fees need to be evaluated to determine the reasonableness, or is there value being delivered for the services that are being provided. And since most plans are paid by employees, participants, even more so, this new rule requires that employers do what's in the best interest of their participants.
So, Ron, I know that you've seen firsthand the benefits of applying this supply chain management, this procurement approach within your plans, that approach to benefit plans and the work that you've done with these administrative teams. Can you share some of the tangible benefits that you've seen in your work with executives and administrative teams using that approach?
I guess, Christy, this is really where the rubber meets the road, and it takes the discussion from concept to reality, and really the thing that fuels what we do here and gives us the greatest joy, not just talking about things, but getting things done. But we do see both quantitative and qualitative results, and I think they do go hand in hand. We have had the benefit of working with, like you mentioned, some of the best educational institutions as well as healthcare providers in the industry, and to see their level of concern in doing what's best both for their employees as well as from a legal liability, to see that burden be taken off their shoulders because now they see it from a picture that is what's required and a process ongoing that leads to best outcomes. So there's a burden of the unknown that's lifted, a confidence and a peace of mind but also in the services. Many times these contracts have been old contracts, you know, 4, 5, 7 years old, even longer, that the services contained in these contracts, some might not even be delivered. Some may be archaic and not driving the results that employers really want for their employees. And so to upgrade those services to meet the needs today of participants, but also to, there's been a shift in the fee structures, how services are the methodology, the pricing, how they're paid, and there really is a movement afoot to make that more transparent, but also realigning them to drive more value. So for us to be able to see hundreds of thousands of dollars each year being saved that are going right back into the savings account, the retirement savings of those employers, is highly rewarding.
So I've been taking some notes as you're talking, and I really love what I'm hearing. Driving the results that employers want for their employees, giving them that confidence and peace of mind. And not only that, but implementing these processes that ultimately lead to the best participant outcomes possible. I don't know of any administrative team, executive, or participant who would not like the sound of that. Ron, any last thoughts?
Well, I think the way we started this session and this conversation is really a point of awareness. And that's, I hope that one takeaway here is that there's a need to modernize, to reevaluate the purpose for these benefit plans, retirement benefit plans. And what worked 5, 7 years ago has been called into a real need to evaluate and determine what's necessary going forward. And so we just hope that that you gain some benefit for those listening, that of the awareness, the new environment that we're in for 403B plans, and that there is a way to navigate these to upgrade the services and the oversight necessary to manage the fiduciary supply chain.
Absolutely. Ron, I appreciate so much you're allowing me to again put you in the chair today. We greatly appreciate your participation and all of the insights that you shared with us today on our show. For our audience, this is a reminder to tune in to our next podcast when we're going to continue this deeper dive. Next time we're going to cover how to implement and measure these GRC governance, risk, and compliance fiduciary standards that we're talking about. If you are an executive with a nonprofit, we encourage you to visit our website at rolandchris.com for information about the Nonprofit Leadership Forum, an executive resource for C-suite nonprofit executives and professionals, a collaboration to discuss and develop industry best practices. We thank you all for joining us, and have a great day.